is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Ooh. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I go wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, and there may I go by as he wash all my sins away. Thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die.
In the darkness, say, Lord, day is at hand. See o'er the foaming billows, fair haven's land. Here was the voyage, say, Lord, now almost o'er. Safe within the lifeboat, say, Lord, pull for the shore.
Pull for the shore, say, Lord, pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore.
Trust in the lifeboat, sailor, all else will fail. Stronger the surges dash and fiercer the gale. Heed not the stormy winds, though loudly they roar. Watch the bright and morning star and pull for the shore.
Pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore.
Bright gleams the morning, sailor, uplift the eye. Clouds and darkness disappearing, glory is nigh. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, sing evermore.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Pull for the shore, pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the
the poor old stranded wreck and tow for the shore. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and tow for the shore.
Comes a single strain. 'Tis loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. Its music rolls along, the hills take up the song of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ.
On to victory, cries our great commander, on.
We'll move at his command, we'll soon possess the land through loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. Come join our loyal throng, we'll rout the giant throng. 'Tis loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. Where Satan's banners float, we'll send the bugle note of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ.
On to victory,
cries our great commander, on. We'll move at his command, we'll soon possess the land, through loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. The strength of youth we lay at Jesus' feet today, 'tis loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. His gospel we'll proclaim throughout the world's domain of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ.
I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army.
On to victory, cries our great commander,
great commander,
on. We'll move at his command, we'll soon possess the land, through loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ.
Loyalty.
Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I would rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that your hungering spirit needs. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be domain, or be held in sin's dread sway.
rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. I trust that is your desire here today as Friday is here. Amen. We are back, OPBC Online, and back to talk about some issues today that I believe are very important. You know, I really didn't feel led to really talk about any of the issues of the day. They're about the same. Everybody's election crazy. There are a number of wicked things going on in the world today, and I just didn't feel like talking about it, to be honest with you. What I want to talk about is something from the Word of God specifically that I believe some people need to hear out there. And I think this platform is a very good platform to teach that in and to talk about this and for some young people to learn. Listen, we... Today in America, especially, our so-called fundamental or evangelical churches are absolutely dropping the ball on teaching premarital counsel to the fathers, first of all. Let me say this. I'm teaching this because, you know, I realize that, like in our church, I teach good, solid doctrine to our men. And I expect them to teach it to their children. And I am teaching their children what they ought to look for in a spouse. And the fathers do most of that. However, in the event that the fathers don't talk to their children and don't guide their daughters and their sons and teach them, there is a dearth in the land. And I don't care if only five people listen to this. If it goes out there and somebody can search it sometime and be like, man, I'm going to get married or I'm interested in getting married or I want to prepare for marriage. What in the world should I be looking for? What should I do? What's some good counsel and advice? You know, and these types of things people will be able to search for. They'll find it, Lord willing. And they'll be helped by it so they don't destroy their lives. The churches today, believers in churches today on average, have an absolutely horrible divorce rate. Now, some of that has to do with the fact that they never should have got married in the first place, some of them. But having said that, it's too late after you've already done it. You need to make the best of it and ask Christ to help you through it and take good biblical advice. And then you'll be helped with whatever it is, the situation that you're in, as far as that goes. So anyway, but let me say hi to some folks, and then we'll get into a lot of this here today. Andrea was first on today. I hope you're doing well, Andrea. How's the pregnancy going? Is everything going well with that? I hope, I trust it is. Pilgrim Lady is on there. My wife is on there. Ross Duncan. Good to see you, Ross. Hope you're doing well. Mary. Carl Winters. Let's see. Rachel is on there. Teresa, Daryl's wife, is on there. Joe McDonald had a farm. Maxim Vacone. Okay. Maxime Vacone. I don't know who that is. Proverbs. All right. Good. We need wisdom, so Proverbs is here to help us. Alex. John Hippie, Matthew Klowski, Jacob. So somebody that erased their message. I can't say their name anyway. John Robinson. Heather Lay. Okay, Andre, is about that time, so that's exciting. All right, well, we'll be praying. It's hard to believe it's been that long. Man, time flies by fast when you're having fun, doesn't it? All right, are you ready to get into some scripture here? I don't want to talk about the world affairs. It's all worldly. There you go. Anyway, we'll get back to it. All right, well, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. Now, this is a principle here. I'm going to show you in the Old Testament. We'll get over there too. But I think one of the biggest things that people do before they get married is, or, you know, when they're in the process of looking or anything else like that, one of the things that they do is they think with their emotions like Eve did, you know, but they think with their emotions and not with practical wisdom and biblical wisdom. And God's people have no excuse for not using biblical wisdom. They ought to use that wisdom. They ought to use the scriptures, and they ought to search the scriptures. I can't tell you how many scenarios that I have seen, or heard of, I should say, more than seen. But, well, I've seen it too, I guess, many times. But, of situations of people being unequally yoked together. And God warns us about that. And he gives us the examples of it in the Old Testament, of what he warns us of what to do and what not to do, what he warns Israel. And there's some principles there for us today. But the scriptures say, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Okay, so this goes without saying right away. Right away, it goes without saying that you should never knowingly marry a lost person. If you are saved by the grace of God, you should never marry a lost person. Never. That's the first principle. If you want to court disaster right away, you fish from the wrong pond. So we'll start there. This is the first principle. So you should never knowingly marry a lost person. You might not know it. They may profess to be saved. We're going to look at some of those things too. But you should never knowingly marry a lost person. So you shouldn't be fishing in the wrong pond. The first pond that you ought to be fishing in is the saved. Those that are walking in the fear of the Lord. If they don't profess Christ, you got no business even, you don't need to be having anything to do with that. Now let me show you something. Show you a principle here that, here it is right here. As a young lady, or as a young man, whichever, it doesn't matter, you ought to be careful where you go and who you hang out with and what you allow your eyes to observe. The Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. That Bible program is the King James Pure Bible Search. Pastor Hoggard's church puts that out. You can go to King James Bible, KingJamesPureBibleSearch.com. Just type that into a browser. You'll find it. You can download it right there. But anyway, so Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Well, there's your first mistake. As a saved person, a daughter or a son, as a saved person, you should never fellowship and hang out with lost people. Dinah went out to see the daughters as a pure girl and came back defiled. Dinah didn't go out to see the men. She went out to see the women. She went out to see the daughters of the land. Do you understand that? The Bible doesn't say that Dinah's intent was to be a whore. When I look at young ladies and they and I try to, when I mean that through the assembly, I don't counsel or talk to young ladies alone by myself. I don't counsel and talk to old ladies alone by myself. No, if you email me and you're a lady, my wife is going to probably see the email 9 times out of 10. If you're a man and you're, she's not going to see it, but she's not going to even read it. She doesn't care. But if you're, you know, if you're a lady, that's how it's going to work. That's just how it's going to happen. But anyway, when I talk to people from the pulpit, when I explain it to young people, young men and women, here's what I explain to them. I'm not questioning your intentions. I'm questioning your wisdom. I'm absolutely questioning your wisdom in the decisions that you're going to make. Young people have to be taught discernment. They don't come with it automatically. It's not prepackaged in their DNA. What's prepackaged in their DNA? I'll show you. Here it is right here. This is packaged in a child's DNA from Adam. You see that? That's what's packaged in your DNA too. Foolishness is bound in the heart. Sewn into their DNA. Part of their DNA. Part of who they are. It's bound in there. It's binded to who they are. When we are born into this world, we are born fools. Bound in your DNA, bound up in your heart, bound up in who you are. Can't get around it. It's there. That's why you need the rod of correction to drive it far from you. That's both for children in discipline, but it's also for the word of God in us too as well. Okay, let's get back to Dinah. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of Leah. Well, if you want to get in trouble, just go hang out with the lost people. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with the lost people first, then we're going to really expound on what it means to be unequally yoked or to marry the wrong person or to court disaster, I should say, before you get married. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. So when you go out and hang out with a bunch of lost girls or lost boys, when you as a young man go hang out with lost people, after work, go hang out with them, go do stuff with them, start to be more comfortable with them, you're going to start acting like them. You're going to start looking at the woman they look at. You're going to start drinking the booze they're drinking. You're going to start smoking the dope they're smoking. You're going to start snorting the coke they're snorting. Uh-huh. You're going to start watching the movies they start watching. You will. Oh, no, I'm going to be a missionary and be real strong. Sure you are. Keep telling yourself that. Because it isn't going to happen. So Dinah, she goes out there, right? She goes out there and she just wants to see how the other side lives. She wants to see the other side of the tracks. How'd that work out for her? Not well. Didn't work out well, friend. Didn't work out well at all. And it won't work out well for you either. If you leave the house of Jacob, the spiritual house of Israel, again, we're using it figuratively. If you leave the household of faith and go out and hang out with the daughters of the land or the sons of the land, right? If you do that, you're going to end up in the pig pen. Just like the prodigal did. He wanted to sow his royal oats, right? He ended up in the pig pen. That's where he ended up. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of land. So she was in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. By the way, it doesn't say that her brothers were nowhere around. Had she been out with her brothers, things would have went a little different. Had there been men there, had there been a father there, had there been somebody of authority there. No, Dinah just went out to the land to see the daughters. So what did Dinah do wrong first? She went out to hang out with the wrong people. Could have been very innocently. Doesn't matter if it's innocent or not. The point is, the tragedy still took place. That's what happened. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her. So, girls hanging out. Or boys, doesn't matter, whichever. He saw her and he took her. He seduced her. He defiled her. It didn't take very long. Now, you may wait till marriage even, but if you pick the wrong spouse, you're picking from the wrong place, you're going the wrong direction. I've seen it. I've seen somebody flirting with somebody that doesn't, you don't have any reason to believe is saved, not going to a good church, not walking with the Lord. And they choose that person. They choose that person. And they sleep with that person. Or they choose that person and they decide to marry that person. They are unequally yoked with an unbeliever. They have yoked themselves up with an unbeliever. Shechem, the son of Hamor, was a Hivite. Right? He's a prince of the country. He impressed her, right? He was a prince. some Prince Charming, right, comes along, comes into the church even maybe, is a lost person, hasn't walked with God that long. I could have been that person when my wife met me. I thought I was saved when I was younger, but I truly wasn't until I was 25. And mid through our courtship is when I got saved. The Lord showed me my lost condition. He showed me that I wasn't saved. And then he saved me and changed me. And then I started to understand the second half of that courtship was a lot better than the first half. Because then I started to understand better. I had the Spirit of God in me and I could get it. But many a young lady has been taken from a church that has flirted around with the world. That has flirted around with disaster. And it's cost her, just like it cost her, her purity. And his soul clave unto Dinah. Well, now he wants her, right? Now he wants her. He tasted of the forbidden fruit. Now he wants her. What happened? Never should have been there in the first place. So the first thing that we have to look at is where are you going and where are you trying to find a spouse and by what method are you using? And are you picking corn from the wrong field? Are you fishing from the wrong pond? Are you looking in the wrong place? Or, let me tell you this, what I've seen. I've also seen parents set their daughters up for destruction like that too by sending them off to work, which I highly discourage. Send them off to work for somebody else. What's it do to them? It puts them in the playing field. Puts them in the playing field. It puts them in play. My policy for my family is this, and I preach it from the pulpit too. Yep, or public school, Tim Reed, that's right. But I preach it from the pulpit, and I teach it, that you raise your sons different than your daughters. Sons are raised as to be young men, to grow up, and to be men. Daughters are raised to be wives and mothers. And you raise them accordingly. I know what went on when people went to work at fast food restaurants because I worked at them. I know what men are like because I am one. And I know what lost men are like because I used to be one. And most people just don't understand how perverted men are. You just don't understand how much men want women. You just don't. I honestly believe if many women, and I mean Christian by this, understood how much fire burns in a man's bosom to be with a woman, that Christian women would be so fearful to dishonor the Lord that they would dress very modestly and be very careful with what they do. And where they go, and what positions and places they put themselves in. Absolutely. they would be very cautious and very careful where they put their children and what they let their and parents would be. Guys know, that's what gets me. Fathers understand this. And the ones that don't put proper things in place just shock me to no end. There's no way I'm giving my daughter a car at 16 and sending her out and saying, okay, go get a job somewhere, go to work. That is the most absolutely insane, asinine, stupid, dumb, foolish, question your sanity, retarded thing I've ever heard anybody think that is a good idea. Absolutely stupid. So you understand what I think of it? And what I believe God's word shows? So dumb. So foolish. And even put your son out there in places and positions where you're not wise. Now, they got to learn. They got to grow. They got to be young men. They're going to start working. They'll start working for people in the church and start doing stuff, and then eventually they're going to get out and work at a place and all that. I get it. But you got to be wise as you teach them. But anyway, so I'm watching. So with this situation here, it's the same example. If you don't want to marry the wrong person, don't put yourself in bad positions. Don't put yourself in compromising positions. Don't put your daughters in places like that. That's right, Sarah. 30-year-old women can be in that place. They get impatient. They want to be married. They're tired of being alone. They're tired of waiting on God. They grow impatient. And then they end up leaving the church and going to find something in a pig pen. Just like Dinah did. Happens. So the first principle there is, of the unequal yoke there, not to get into it, is, well, who are you hanging out with? Who are you going to spend time with? Right? Are you going into the world? That's the first lesson right there. Where are you going? What are you doing? Are you staying separated and sanctified in your walk with God? Or are you going out into the world and hanging out with a bunch of worldly people and spending your time with worldly people? Well, I don't care how Christian you are, you're going to end up marrying somebody worldly. You're going to end up compromising and you're going to marry some worldly person. That's what you're going to do. And I know a lot of this is so practical, and you're probably like, you know, some of you may think you don't need it, but your children might need it. You might have friends that might need it. People don't like to, you know what I think is awesome at OPBC, at our church? I preach doctrine to our church from that pulpit, and not a one of those people complain about it, but they love it. They love the practical application. They love the growing in, they love to learn to grow in grace. They love to learn the doctrines of the scriptures. They love to be sanctified in the word of God and washed in the word and shown the truth of it. But you get online and people have this taste for novelties, that they always want to hear something novel. They always want to hear something like that. But really, the truth of the matter is this is the kind of meat and potatoes that you need right here. These are the kinds of things that you learn and you grow. I see a lot of parents weeping and crying tears because a lot of things have happened. And they've happened a lot of times because that narrow way wasn't followed. Their children started to get away from them. They took their hand off their children, and they let them go into the world and do whatever, and they end up doing whatever they want to do. That's what happens, friend. It happens. And having a good Christian stand and a practice of separation. Had Dinah not went and hung out with the wrong girls or went to go see the wrong girls or went to go see how that side of the life was, she never would have met Shechem. She never would have defiled herself with Shechem. It never would have ended up in the death of his family and him. See, there's a lot to it. Lot to it, friend. But you first got to be fishing from the right pond. And secondly, that means it has to be a believer. Someone that professes Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's a minimum, by the way. But you want to know what ends up leading into more problems? People that just have mere professions. Young men will come into a church, or young women will come into a church, or they'll meet out in the world or something like that. And you know what they'll have? They'll have a mere profession. They say, oh, well, I'm saved. But then watch their life. It's already a given that you're not supposed to marry a lost person. You're never supposed to marry a lost person. By the way, let me say this. If you've been in fornication and you're saved and you sinned against God and you had a baby with a man, or you're pregnant, you had a baby with a man, and you think you need to marry that lost man, and you think you got to marry that lost man, no, you don't. Don't marry that man. You don't marry a lost man because he got you pregnant and you sinned against God and fornicated. You don't marry that man for that reason. Not at all. You stay single, you walk with God, and you wait for God to give you a husband. But under no circumstances do you marry a man because he got you pregnant and he's not even saved. And he's not even walking with the Lord. And when I mean saved, I'm going to show you what I mean by that. One that loves Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, since they got pregnant, you just marry her. That's the right thing to do. No, it's not the right thing to do. It isn't. Well, I got to save face. No, you don't. You got to save a life of hell. You got to save a life of destroying your child's life. Somebody asked the question, what will happen if keeping kids away from the world and spanking kids will be illegal? Well, then we will serve the Lord. That's what will happen. We will follow Christ. Just like the saints of God always have. Anyway. But be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unright? What fellowship hath you with the lost? What fellowship hath you with the lost? You shouldn't be walking in intimate fellowship with lost people. Not at all. What communion hath light with darkness? None. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? None. And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? None. No part. No part nor lot in this matter, like Peter told Simon the sorcerer. Thou hast no part. Guess what I think? I think Tim Reed is another fake account. That's what I think. I think Tim Reed is the same one that's obsessed with children, and he's always talking about children, and I'm sorry, but I really think that's the same guy doing it again. Because they have this weird thing where they like to bring up things like that. This same group of people like to bring up stuff like that all the time. Well, you're not going to sway me from what I'm teaching. I don't care. You're not swaying me from what I'm teaching by. Go away. Fine. Done. Thank you. Now, for a recompense of the... Anyway, so let's move on. And what agreement at the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And what agreement at the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from among them, and be ye separate. So you go fishing in the wrong pond, you go out to the world to find it. The Bible tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you better get back to where you need to be. Amen. So the first one is that. Don't be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Don't be a Dinah. Don't be a Dinah. What's the second thing, though? You could be unequally yoked together also with people that are mere professors of the faith. You could know a Christian by their fruits for the most part. And I'm not saying that we can't be fooled and we can't be deceived. I've met some that I thought were saved and they end up sticking a knife in me and walking away from the Lord. So I've met them. I know they're out there. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, also, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So if it's true Christians, then they're going to love the Lord. And they're going to love God, and they're going to keep his commandments. So while some guy is trying to talk you into doing evil and doing wrong, or some woman is, or they're leading you away from the Lord, they're not the person you're supposed to marry. The person that you're supposed to marry is the one that's leading you to Christ, not away from Christ. Right? The people that you want to marry, the lady or the husband that you want to marry, is somebody that's leading you further into the truth, not away from it. One that's gravitating towards the Word of God and strong doctrine and strong practical holiness and living for God and serving Him. Not leading you away from good, strong doctrine and Bible. So if you're, for instance, if I hold this strong Bible doctrine in the faith, and I'm a Baptist that holds this strong Bible Baptist doctrine and faith and practice and everything else, I'm not going to go jump into the new evangelical pond and go fishing over there in the new evangelical pond because they say they love Jesus and they love God, but they have no standards of separation and holiness. They're not equally yoked with you. They're not going the same way. If they don't agree with the doctrines of your church, you shouldn't be marrying them. I'm going to say that again to you. If they don't agree with the doctrines of your church and the Word of God, then it's an unequal yoke and you shouldn't marry them. You shouldn't court them. Why would you seek a relationship with somebody that wasn't going the right way? Why would you seek a courtship? Well, I've been waiting a long time to get married, and this guy says he's a Christian, or this girl. Yeah, but are they going the same direction you are? You won't change them. You won't change them. Especially if it's a man and you're a lady. Don't get involved with them. If he's got weaker, softer standards than you, if he doesn't want to follow the Bible, if he doesn't believe in Baptist doctrine or Bible doctrine of the faith, if he's not holding to strong biblical doctrine, strong biblical faith, holiness, separation, righteousness, maybe he needs a year or two to come along. Then he can go to your church and he can do what he's supposed to do. Right? But listen to me. Don't go picking corn in that field. That's not the same one. They may even be saved. But you need to vet that testimony and make sure they're real. Your father, your brother, your pastor, somebody as a young lady in your life needs your parents. They need to vet that person. And maybe you could just be friends for a while and let the Lord grow them in the faith and let them come around. But don't get involved with them in a courtship situation. You're courting disaster. Because that guy's not going to change for you. That guy's not going to come along and once he's the man and he's in charge, he's not going to come along your way, the way you've been trained your whole life. He's going to go the other way, and he's going to take you with him. I watched that happen. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen it. I've seen it happen in this church. I watched a man do it. Nothing but a wolf is all he was. Picking off a sheep, picking off prey. That's right. He got what he wanted and took off. And he claimed to be saved. But he wasn't grounded in the faith. He thought he was. Big stinking know-it-all. thought he was. Thought he was something great. They couldn't wait to get married. They had to get married, like, right away. They couldn't wait, like, 6 months. They had to... They were done with it. They were waiting long enough. They did it in, like, 3 months. Drugs end up being involved. Psychologically messed up. Yep. End up having real bad anger problems. Yelling, screaming, hollering. Yep. And all he did was use the church for that. That's all he was there for. I could have been that guy, but the Lord saved me. Saved me, called me to preach, and saved me. You need to be a little bit more mature in the faith when you come into a church and try to hijack some girl and take her out of here. Yeah, you do need to be a little bit more mature. You need to be able to, you need to show yourself as somebody that's faithful, that loves the Lord, and that's dedicated to God's church and dedicated to walking with God. I've seen enough jackals come in and destroy people's lives. I've seen enough young men come in, and I've seen enough unequally yoked together. I've watched it more than, believe me, I've pastored for 18 years and I've watched, or 13 years and I've watched it, and I've been saved 18 years and I've watched what happens. I've seen what they do. I see how it works, and I see the destruction that it causes. Oh yeah. I've seen it. I've watched it. If that person is not walking in the faith, if that person is not held to the truth, here come the trolls. Here they come. Yes, indeed. Here come the trolls. They don't like that teaching, do they? No, no, no. Preacher, don't talk about the experience that God has brought you through according to the Word of God. Don't give them any wisdom and warn them. Let me tell you something. I will tell you something that I will never make public. But let me tell you something. Out of all my detractors and all the people that have ever come against me in my ministry, of the ones that were members here that turned their back, that did what they did, do you know that each one of them, after they were disciplined, after they were in trouble, after they were out of the church, after wrote letters of confession addressed to this church, not led by me, because I never talked to him again, saying that the church was right and that they had sinned against God. Every single one of them. Almost every single one of them. Almost, I should say. Not all. Almost. I even got a letter from a young man that blamed me for his marriage woes and everything else. I got a letter 7 years later 7 years later, under conviction of the Holy Ghost, he sent a letter 7 years later confessing that I was right, that the church was right, and that he was wrong, and he asked for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's why, by God's grace, I continue on to serve the Lord. If I never got a letter from any of them, I'd still do it. But I'm just telling you, I've been through it. I've watched it. I've seen it happen. I've seen people disobey God. I've seen people even go from a Baptist church to a Bible missionary church or something like that, find a spouse, get together with them at some ecumenical school, ecumenical work or something like that, not be strong in their convictions. Mm-hmm. I've watched it. And I've watched the whole marriage fall apart. So if I can warn enough young people to pay attention and be careful before they do it, Stephen L., I'm not saying that you were wrong, that you married your wife. The scenario is way different. What I'm speaking of is a young Christian person growing up in a church, growing up with the truth, and then choosing a spouse outside of that that's lost or that doesn't follow the faith. I'm not talking about two young people getting saved and then getting married. I'm not. That's not even the same wavelength. What I'm talking about is somebody swooping in, the fowls of the air coming in, swooping in and taking one out with them. Or somebody just not dealing with things wisely. Yeah, they crept in unawares. And by the way, young women do it too. Young man gets out in the gets out on a young Christian man or somebody that's gets out, goes out into the world, meets a lady, and she sees a lot of good things in him, gravitates towards him, ends up seducing him because what's in his heart, because men are drawn away and enticed of their own lust. I don't know why these trolls have such a problem with this teaching today. But I do know, because Satan's been picking at my brain for like the last hour and a half. So I actually do know why, which makes me want to do this even more. It means I'm right over the target that the devil doesn't like. Hallelujah. Anyway, all right. So what we have seen in the scriptures, what we see is, you know, you've got to be of like faith and practice. You don't want to marry somebody that's not of like faith and practice, because you're going to disagree on a number of things. And I'm going to tell you what, it does matter if you disagree on doctrine with the person you're marrying. It does matter. Because if you have strong disagreements in doctrine of the person that you're marrying, things aren't going to go well in the future. You know, there's things in the future that are going to come up in a married couple's life that your doctrine's going to dictate a lot of your practice. Okay? Luba, that's an excellent reminder. Excellent reminder. Thank you. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And that's just it right there. That's it right there. They can't. They won't walk together. You know, I've seen this where you think that somebody just nods their head to a doctrinal statement. They nod their head to church membership. They nod their head to things. And then you find out that they can't walk with you. Why? Because they really don't agree with you. And you just can't afford to do that in a marriage, friend. You can't afford to marry a Christian that you're not united in doctrine together. That's the first thing. You got to be nailed down on doctrine together. I'll tell you, there's examples like marrying a Pentecostal. Baptist marrying a Pentecostal or something like that. Oh, they're saved. Yeah, they don't believe what you do. They don't believe what you do, and then what happens? Well, either you're going to compromise, or they are, and I'll tell you what. When it comes to women, I have rarely ever seen that tongue-speaking demon come out of them, and I'm not kidding you. You say, do you question they're saved? You bet I do. You bet I do. Because I've never seen that Jezebel charismatic spirit come out of them most. I've never seen it. They hold on to that sucker for everything in them. That devil holds on to them like you wouldn't believe. And evil never compromises with truth. Truth always has to compromise. So if you're not agreed on doctrinal issues, especially like that, you're going to be in trouble. How about the number one issue, the King James Bible, in that sense? Besides salvation by grace through faith, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, but it's all centered by the Word of God. If you ain't agreed on that King James Bible, that's the Word of God, you got no business marrying that person. You got no business courting that person. You can't walk together. You'll never walk together. There's no way you will. Why? You got different authorities. The King James Bible is our authority of faith and practice, for faith and practice. If they're out there looking for the originals, you're in trouble. If they're going to the Greek and they're going to all these other translations and you guys don't have the agreement on the Bible, it ain't happening. It's not happening. You can't afford to have disunity in your marriage. Because if you're saved and you love God, Satan is going to attack your marriage. Satan's going to attack your marriage. So before you get married, you got to pound these things out. I'm telling you, you're a fool if you don't pound these things out. Now, what's nice and a blessing, Lord willing, I'm praying and hoping that all of our children here, we've got like 36 or something of them, I don't know how many here, but I hope many of them grow up to marry each other here in this church, and they've grown up with the same doctrine, the same practice, the same life, the same standards. I pray that most of them grow up marrying one another. We have a lot of children here. I pray that they grow up, they're grounded and rooted. That's why I'm trying to prepare them now. That's why I'm trying to teach them now. That's why I'm teaching Keeping the Kids now. from David Cloud's book, and then the extra stuff that I teach. That's why I'm gonna start a series called Lessons for Lambs. And I want to teach our children some things, why I hold to the things I do. Because I want to prepare their hearts. That's why we train up our children in the way they should go. That's why we're doing that. That's the purpose that we're doing it for, is to prepare them for the future. We want to prepare them. And you, look, I understand that there's exceptions out there. I know people that were saved that married a lost religious person. And that person came to this church and they got saved. And they've had one of the greatest, or they've been one of the most loyal families and founding members of this church. And I rejoice in that. But if you ask them, they would never recommend that. They would never let their daughter or their sons do that. Just because God gave grace doesn't mean that it'll happen every time. And the one man was backslidden away from God. But God was merciful. But you don't knowingly go into those things. You don't knowingly do those things. To whom much is given, much shall be required. You got to be solid on doctrine, and you got to be solid on practice. We're going to get into specifics. We'll get into specifics later, because I'm gonna keep talking about this subject at different times. I don't know that I'll do it Monday, but I'll do it again, and I'm gonna put it under premarital counseling, and I want to help people out there, because I've had mostly ladies write me and say, you know, what should I do? Here's my situation, Pastor. What should I do? I don't have anybody to advise me. So then I give them, or my wife. You know, she talks to them. So, you know, I want to help them. But you have to be agreed. You got to walk together. There's got to be an agreement that there's separation from the world. Now, if you're picking a Christian that's not separated from the world, somebody that professes to be a Christian, but there's no separation in their life, well, that's how your marriage is going to go. I mean, I'm talking about down to what they wear. I'm talking about what they wear, the clothing issue. You better believe it, because I believe clothes matter to God. And you may get mad at this statement, but I'm not apologizing for it. I want you to understand that. But I would not advise my son against marrying a woman that wears pants. I would. It is a modesty issue, and I believe it is a modesty issue. And I would definitely advise him against it. And it isn't because I think that I'm better or that we think we're better. We believe what the scriptures say concerning that, and we hold to it. And I know a lot of people don't like that, but you go listen to my you listen to my my series. You listen to my series on modesty for women. And for men, really. I'll not get into it today, but I'll tell you what, because that's going to lead to problems, and he wasn't raised like that. And I'm not going to get into that entire teaching today, but you better nail that down, what's modest and what's not, and what you're agreed upon with those things. Because I'm going to tell you what, I've seen a lot of people compromise what they believe in order to marry somebody. I know a young man now. Well, he's not young anymore. I guess he would be young compared to old people. But I know a man that he grew up under the hardest preaching. Preach modesty and preach a woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man, and preach against pants, and preach against long slits and everything else. And he married a woman that wears yoga pants, stretch pants everywhere. Mm-hmm. And he was raised his whole life not to do that. And to know the truth of it and claim to hold to that. And then caved. And in a day and age when men are cross-dressing and wearing skirts and people are appalled by that, but they're not appalled by women doing the same thing, I just don't understand it. I don't understand the hypocrisy with that. Danielle says, this seems hard. How do you find a godly man when you are not in church? Well, Danielle, no, don't use a Christian app. You need to get into a church. You need to get where one is, and you need to find one. Do your best. What about pastors who wear skinny jeans? Yeah, that's pretty disgusting. But anyway, I've already talked about pastors wearing skinny jeans. I did a whole sermon on skinny jeans. You can go find it. In fact, I'll show it to you. It's right there. There it is, skinny jeans and the feminine man. Hey, there's a whole series, Feminizing Manhood. Hey, I forgot about that. Androgynous Attack on Manhood, Feminizing Manhood, Female Bosses, Women in the Workforce. Hey, I actually got some PowerPoints for all these. Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't recommend anybody meeting on a Christian website. I think it's very dangerous. You could end up getting killed. And then let's see. Here we go. Here's the whole series on biblical modesty. This is my original sermon on it, The Naked Truth, the Biblical Definition of Naked. Okay. Anyway, here's an entire series there. You can listen to those. They're all there, and they teach on biblical modesty. And I'm telling you, it's hated today more than ever. Yep, you did it in ignorance, Carl. I understand. Okay. So there better be an agreement, though, on issues like that of modesty and everything else, because if there isn't agreement on that, the guy's going to cave on that. It's just the way it's going to be. You know, it's just, it is. So there, you know, you do have to be, I mean, I don't think you understand how much unity you really need before you get and understand before you get married. But that unity needs to be there in faith and practice. Let me give you another example. You marry into a family, if you marry into the wrong family, or you marry into a family, that person's a saved person, but situations like this, well, my little sister's getting baptized in the Roman Catholic Church, and I want to go to the baby baptism. My parents want me to go there. Well, you're going to sit down and talk about that before you get married and say, you know what? We're not going to observe their religious practices. We're not going to show up to their gay weddings or their funerals or their, you know, maybe not funeral. I mean, I suppose you could go out to the gravesite, but we're not going to take their communion. We're not going to, I mean, if it's her mother, her father, obviously, she probably wants to go to the, if they die. But we're not going to observe their religious ceremonies. You know, we're not going to be a part of their baby baptisms, their church functions, the things that they do. If you're dealing with somebody older that you marry, those things all have to be kind of mined out and understood before. You know, they have to be understood. Yep. Holidays is another one that we're going to talk about, but I might save that for a different one and expound kind of on that a little bit. But, you know, well, actually, we can talk about it now. It doesn't really matter. Holidays. Do they celebrate them, and do you celebrate them? Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you've learned what the scriptures say about that. And maybe their church believes in doing Halloween. Well, that's the wrong person to get involved with if you can't rectify that. If they don't say, you know what, we're not going to be a part of that. We're not going to be a part of that. Those holidays, we're not going to be a part of that. We're not going to be unequally yoked together. We're going to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Maybe they didn't grow up like that. So you need to have those conversations, and that all needs to be nailed down. and agreed upon. Otherwise, trouble's going to come. Because I'm going to tell you what, women get mighty emotional about holidays. The two things I've preached on that has really caused a ruckus in this church in times past, you know, that people, it was hard for them to bite off. One of them was holidays. Holidays and not observing those holidays. Now, some of you might observe some of them. That's between you and the Lord. I'll probably end up teaching on them this year again. But that's between you and the Lord. But what I'm saying is the person that you're marrying, you better have an understanding with them that, hey, I'm not going to do that. Like, let me show you why. And you show them why you don't observe those certain holidays. Amen. I can't have the Baal bush. Oh man, should I remind you of those? I should. Let's see. Let's see. I thought I put these in a holiday series. Here it is. You might know me from such titles as Merry Christmas, You Hypocrites. Now, don't play that one for him. Play the nicer, coolie ones, okay? Oh, play the nicer, coolie ones, baby. Maybe don't play that one. Let's see. What would Jesus do? Christmas is not about the truth, that's for sure. Halloween or Hallowed Be Thy Name, that's an old Halloween one. Christianizing Halloween. Oh yeah, I remember that one. Anyway. So, but maybe you ought to talk about those. We wrote a good tract on that. And I think Ryan wrote a tract on that. We've got that somewhere. But anyway, that's something you're going to have to... Those are on Sermon Audio. I don't know if they're on YouTube. I just don't know. YouTube stuff is like crazy, so I have no idea. But I'll probably talk about some of them this year again. But there's got to be Amen, Brother Paul. That's good. That's good. Brother Paul said his friends of theirs had their first kiss in front of the witnesses at a wedding. Very encouraging and very rare. What a blessing. They're still going with about 8 children. Amen. And we'll talk about that, purity and things of that nature, in courtship and all that kind of stuff. We'll get to that. Not today, but in another day. But things like that, things like the holidays. You got to have that stuff nailed down. These are things that are going to impact your family. Now, we're going to talk about children in a separate broadcast. All about children. So, we're going to discuss that later. But, you know, all these things of entertainment, amusements, finances, you know, finances, that there's an agreement about that. All those things need to be talked about. You know, it's important. Otherwise, you're going to have an unequal yoke there. You're not going to be in agreement. You're not going to walk together. And boy, you want that stuff nailed down so then you could say, you know what? We agreed to these things together before we were married. Right? And we know why we agree to these things. See, that's just as important. An educated faith. An educated faith. That's important. I think I'm going to save for another broadcast also for premarital counsel is communication one with another. But, because that's important. You know, we'll get to that. We'll talk about that. But that's under a different one. I want to talk about that communication one with another before you're married. But this is part of that kind of too, in the sense of understanding that you mine out these issues. And you lay them all on the table and you're equally yoked. Together. I mean, you have the same preferences, you have the same goals in mind. You believe the same things about the Bible. You believe the same things about salvation. You believe the same things about practice in life. What church you will attend. That's another one. You know, that's so important that you decide that you're going to be faithful to church. See, church is the I'm telling you, it's the testing ground for faith. If you can get along with other fellow believers in Christ and learn to love them and learn to exercise your gifts in the body, that's the place where it's done, is in the assembly. Learning to love one another. That's the important place. That's the place that God wants you to learn and to grow. But that's important for communication. That's awesome, Becca. That's good to hear. They went out there to New York and went to a wedding of their nephew, and that was his first kiss as well. So that's a blessing. Praise the Lord for that. So you see, these things all have to be communicated one with another. They've got to be. You got to be picking from the right pond. Number one, it's got to be a saved person. Number two, it's got to be somebody of like faith. And fathers shouldn't give their blessing to a young man for their daughter, or vice versa, if that person isn't even walking in the same faith. They're not walking with the Lord. They're not going the same direction. Those two aren't going to walk together. It's courting disaster. It will end up hurting them in the end. It will end up being bad. The Bible warns about it. Let's see. It is Deuteronomy 7. Let's go there. Let's look at the scriptures here. Here we go. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, and thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Here's what it is for us. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. See, there's a principle here, all right? There's a teaching here about marrying the right person. Not marrying outside of people of the faith. Because you see, God says that they're going to turn your heart away. And I'm telling you what, it ought to be down. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 3. It ought to be down to the doctrine and the practice they hold to. From the way they dress, from the way they act, from the work that they do, from the direction of their life, all of those things. Otherwise, they'll turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods, or the daughter. They'll turn your daughter away. They'll turn your daughter away from following the Lord. You better believe they will. I've seen that happen. I've seen them turned right out of the church. Now hiding out in the woods somewhere. Yep. Watched it. They literally want to get them away from that church. That's what God said they would do. So, who knows if that profession is real, or that person, if it's an unequal yoke, if it's a lost person. You need time to get to know them. Or get to know if they've made a profession, you need time to get to know them to see if it's real in their lives. Chances are, if you want to hurry up and do something, it's probably not the right decision. Right? It's probably not the right decision. And it's only going to lead to destruction. So the Bible warns us about that. You know, it warns us that your heart can be taken. Look at, I preached on this when I preached that message a few weeks back, so I won't go over that all over again. But think about that. Samson, when he went to the harlot, or first he married the wrong woman, wasn't a daughter of his people. A lot of bad stuff happened there. Then he got into it with harlots. And then he ends up with Delilah, sells out all of his consecration, sells out everything and who he is. Betrays the Lord and is brought down very low for it. Think about it. You ought to have a good understanding of the person that you're married. And we'll get into that next time. We'll talk about communication, because that's the key. Communication is the key before you marry somebody. Not physical intimacy, but communication. Communicating. That's the key. But evil communication corrupts good manners. And that's what we see with this.
I've reached the land of joy divine, and all its beauty now is mine. Here shines undimmed one blissful day, for all my night has passed away. Oh, Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, as on thy highest mount I stand, I look away all across the sea, where mansions are prepared for me, and view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore. The Savior comes and walks with me, and a sweet communion here have we. He gently leads me with his hand, for this is heaven's borderland. Oh, Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, as on thy highest mount I stand, I look away all across the sea, where mansions are prepared for me, and view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore. Thank you. stand, I look away across the sea, where mansions are prepared for me, and near the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home, forevermore.
All right, let's see. How's everybody doing? If you want to say hi, give you a chance to do that here before I take off, and all that good stuff. So just let me know if you want to just make yourself known. Maybe you're a first-time listener, or maybe you've been listening for a while. Just want to say hi. That'd be awesome. I'm going to look for you another song here while we're waiting. I got to find it here. Can't find my stuff. Let's see. I know it's here somewhere. All right, let's see. Usually at the bottom here, I gotta find it. There it is, right there. I found it. There we go. Let's see. How about we play?
Something in my heart that Jesus gave to me. It makes me feel like singing glory all the day. He found my captive soul and gave me liberty. And now I feel like singing glory. He makes the night feel brighter every passing day. He makes the burden lighter all along the way. His word is my delight, his will I now obey. And all the time I'm singing glory.
My Savior took my feet from out the miry clay. Since then I have been singing glory all the day.
He placed them on the rock that shall not pass away.
I cannot keep from singing. The brighter, everlasting day. He makes the burden lighter right along the way. His word is my delight, his will I now obey. And all the time I'm singing glory.
Oh, weary heart and sad, oh, heavy laden soul, if you feel like singing glory all the day. Just let the Savior in and let him take control. Then you will feel like singing glory. He makes the path grow brighter every passing day. He makes the burden lighter,
makes your heart along the way.
His word is my delight, his will I now obey. And all the time I'm singing, and all the time I'm singing, glory all the way.
Amen. Good song, huh? Good stuff. Let's see. I like this one.
Sailing home, sailing home, sailing home across the sea, sailing home to see my Savior, sailing home, dear Lord, to thee. I was once a wanderer.
wandering sailor, just a drifting o'er the sea. Then the Savior took my burden, and he said, come home to me.
Sailing home, sailing home, sailing home across the sea. Sailing home to see my Savior. Sailing home, dear Lord, to thee.
Behind me seem to whisper as they go, there's a hearty welcome waiting in that land to which you go.
Sailing home, sailing home, sailing home across the sea. Sailing home to see my Savior. Sailing home, dear Lord, to thee. Sailing home, sailing home, sailing home across the sea. Sailing home to see my Savior. Sailing home.
Amen. Good song. All right. Danielle asks a question here. She says, what is your thoughts about money? I follow Dave Ramsey, a Christian, on YouTube. Well, I've seen some of Dave Ramsey's stuff, and I'm sure he's financially, he's well off, and he's very good at what he does. He talks about staying out of debt and all those things, and I think reasonably you can do some of that. I don't think you can do it completely like he tries to push, but anyway, but I don't know. Like, I have a problem with a guy that all the world loves him. And I don't like some of his philosophies and the people. Like, it's all that, like, Zig Ziglar type Christianity. And that, I don't know. I just stay away from people like that. I don't like the whole ecumenical money thing that they do. It's just weird. The whole thing, I don't know. So I'm sure he has some good principles. And I get that and everything. But I think his principles are, well, your wife has to work. If you're in debt, you stay working. Your wife stays working. And you stay. So in other words, basically, you just ignore biblical principles to follow getting out of debt or whatever. I don't agree with that. For a number of reasons. But that's why I'm a pastor and he's a financial counselor that makes millions of dollars. So whatever. I don't agree with his philosophies and his system. So, but anyway, that's where I'm at with it. So anyway, all right. Hey, but if you want to support the ministry, pray for us. Number one, we could use it. We can always use it. But also, you can go to our sermon audio page, and you can, which is Old Paths Baptist Church, or you could type in Pastor Jason Cooley. You'll find me there. And then there's a give button at the top. Click that. There's a PayPal right there. And you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. Or you can mail us something if you'd like. The address is right down here. So, and, you know, feel free to do that. And feel free to pray for us. Amen. Anyway, so thank you for listening. What do you think about women doing work from the home? I think that's fine. I think it's fine. I think it depends on if it runs you and it distracts you from your husband and your family, then no. Because your primary work is your husband and your family. When the economy is built on agricultural, like in the Proverbs 31 issue, she was just doing agricultural stuff with the land and her husband's estate and everything else. It wasn't like she was running a different career, you know, outside of the home, away from her husband in that sense. It was like the stuff that they grew, the stuff that they made with their hands, simple stuff, a simple life, not distracted by everything else that's out there. So I think that's the lesson that's taught there. Anyway, all right, well, God bless you. I'm going to go spend the afternoon with my wife and the evening with my wife and romance my wife for a while. Amen. That sounds like fun to me. So that's what I'm going to do. And I appreciate the prayers, and I appreciate the time. Now, just remember, in November, my schedule is going to be a little sketchy, okay? I don't know if I will be doing all the regular, broadcasts in November. The reason why is November, I think it's the 7th, 6th or the 7th, hunting season starts. I want to take my son out. We'll be going out. We're going to try to get like 3 deer between the two of us. And this will be his first year going out. So, so I don't know what my schedule will be like exactly at that time, because then I'm leaving for vacation. I'm only going to be gone for 4 or 5 days. We're just going to go down and see Hannah's grandma down in Kansas City. So we're just going to be gone for like four days, probably. I think it's only 4 days or something like that. And then we'll come back for Thanksgiving week and we'll be here for that and all that stuff. So the schedule will be kind of, I don't know how it's going to work yet, but I'll let you know. And, you know, we'll get it figured out for sure. But I'll kind of let you know. It might be some abbreviated broadcasts. It might not be long ones. Stuff like that, okay? So anyway, God bless you all. Take care. We'll see you, Lord willing. Lord willing, we'll see you on, on Monday. All right? And stay tuned for more sermons. We'll be putting them up on.